they are ganged up against me. None of them will see this land. None of them. When anyone is stepping into Babylon, the principle that will put him over in life is that the kingdom of God is in his own life. Do you get what the point I'm making there? That was what brought Joseph to the throne. That was what brought Daniel also to the throne. It was not by trying. Are you getting me? It was not by trying. The issue was that the men in their lives, the kingdom of God was manifest. This was not the issue of when I go to Babylon, he wasn't fighting the king. A friend of mine told me once, he was inside a vehicle, and they got, this was before Roger, you know what they call Roger, amongst the police. Before he became this rampant, but he started long ago. So they were traveling, they got to a checkpoint, and one Mopole officer wanted to collect his Roger. You know, those they used to hide it. And one passenger in the car saw it, and he came out. No! This is unrighteousness. That the driver will not give the guy a Roger. You understand what I'm saying? That he cannot stand here and let people do Jim Roger. I mean, actually, the policeman has no right to collect any money from the driver. So the policeman gave him a slap. He said, no, he's suffering for righteousness' sake. And the policeman kicked him, and fight broke out there. And the driver, look, Oga, let me give this man my money and go away. The guy said, no, for righteousness' sake, he will not allow it to happen. After some time, the driver said, well, while you are fighting righteousness, he started his car, took the other passengers and left him there fighting the policeman over not collecting Roger. That is not your business. Jesus said, if they take your coat, give them your shirt also. Are you getting what I'm saying? That the problem is that in your own life, what is going on? Are you rogering the man? That is your own problem. If everybody wants to roger the man, it doesn't concern you. In fact, when you get there, the man says, no roger, no go. Then you give the guy the roger and continue going. That is called extortion. A man can't put a gun to your head and say, righteousness, no, I won't give him money. He's not here. That's nonsense. Give the guy the money and go away. He has just asked for your jacket. In fact, if he asks for 100 naira, add 50 naira on top. 100 naira is the jacket, 50 naira is the coat. Sorry, is the shirt under it. But what God is looking at is that when you are the policeman at the checkpoint, what do you do? And believe me what I'm saying, God finds such people hard to come by. A lot of people, conscience will disturb them at night. Then during the day, the conscience go to sleep. Then they continue. And at night, they will repent. No problem. God will forgive them small. But the kingdom here is not present. So the man cannot reign over all. We will now start saying, how come unbelievers are on top? The only thing that takes the believer to the top is the presence of the kingdom. Do you understand my point? Now let's go back to where we were earlier so that I will continue to read it. That's Isaiah chapter 2. God was saying, this is the reason why I have abandoned my people. Why they work in civil service and they hardly make it to be DG? Why I find it hard to appoint them as president? When I'm making group general manager of NNPC, I don't make them. Why? He said, I have abandoned my people because they are filled with influences from the east. They are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they strike bargains with the children of foreigners. How do people strike bargains with children of foreigners? As a believer, you want to start a company. Let me tell you how they do in the world. You want to start a company that is great. You look for one retired general and put him as chairman of the board. The man doesn't come for the meeting. Are you getting me? The man does not participate in anything that's going on. But you just say his name, just be there, and you pay him 5% of your earnings. Why? Because he's the principality that's helping you to succeed. And we treat you as what? Wisdom. So you have to be wise. You have to be wise. No, the Bible said they have struck what? Yet they strike bargains with the children of foreigners. A man who you believe is a crook, you believe that most of the money he has, he does not deserve it. It is not his own. Yet you want to open a company, your own friends will advise you, influences from the East, to go and strike a bargain with a foreigner. It's very simple. And it happens every time. I was even watching, now it's a principle we use a lot in business. It's very, very common in business. I was watching Discovery the other day, and they were talking about General Lee. I think Lee, that was the general of the Confederate Army. That the man, after he finished, an insurance company said, "Oga, come and be our boss. And we'll pay you so and so amount of money." The man wrote them back and said, "I cannot take wages for what I am not doing. That is, I will be the boss and I will not work." The people wrote him back and said, "Oga, it is simple money. All we want to do is use your name as our Oga." And the man said, "I have lost everything in life. The only thing I have left is my name. I'm not about to sell it. Thank you very much." And I mean, his people lost the war. He was a nice Christian man. The guy said, "No, this is the only thing I have left, my name." Even his opponents respected him. They saluted him. The soldiers of the opposition respected his person. It's just that it's war. We have to fight. That this man is a good soldier. The guy said, "That is the only thing I have left. I am not about to sell it to anybody." This is what I'm coming to. That is a worldly principle of business. We want to do business. Let us strike a bargain with one Alhaji that used to be chairman of MPN or something. Because you believe that everywhere you go looking for business, they will respect his name. God said, "You see, I don't share my glory with anybody else." As soon as you strike that bargain with the children of foreigners, I step out of your business. You have to struggle like everybody else. Listen, the fact that the tactic you use worked is not good. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. Remember Asa? Maybe we should read the story of Asa. It will be good. The fact that you use a tactic and it worked does not mean anything. Asa was a king that God helped. And there was after, you know, I think, that let's read from 2 Chronicles would be a good place to find this thing I'm saying. Chapter 16. In fact, there's something I will say. Let me just explain. When Asa took over as king, there was trouble in the land. There was no peace to him that went out or the one that came in. Are you getting me? Then what happened was that Asa now commanded everybody. And let me say, he now put a restructuring into the land. If you read verse 14, they made an oath to the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and with trumpets, with horns. What was the oath? They made an oath to serve God and serve God alone. Are you getting me? If I might just back up a bit. A prophet came to Asa, Azariah the son of Oded, in verse 1 of 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And he said to him, "Listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. And if you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you will forsake," he said, "if you forsake him, he will forsake you." The problem, now this is a situation where when Asa was there. "For many days, Israel was without the true God and without the teaching priest and without law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord God of Israel and they sought him and he let them find him. In those times, there was no peace to him that went out or to him that came in. For many disturbances afflicted all the inhabitants of the lands. Nation was crushed by nation and city by city. For God troubled them with every kind of distress." Now the prophet told him, "But you will be strong. Do not lose courage, for there is reward for your work." Now, listen to this. When Asa did this, when he brought about the proper worship of God in the land, you will see verse 19. It said, "And there was no more war." Listen to this. Before, nation was warring against nation, city against city. Foreigners were invading them. They were fighting amongst themselves. But when they decided to serve God and serve God alone, the end of chapter 15, "And there was no more war." But this was until the 25th year of Asa's reign. Let me just explain a principle to you here. If you strike success with God, after a while, you'll be tested again to maintain the success. This is what I'm coming to. If you're a man of dedicated service, and God lifted you up because of your dedication to his work and to his person, the problem is that in your prosperity, that zeal for dedication, now get my point, becomes a bit unnecessary. Let me explain what I mean. Let us assume now that come rain or shine, I was coming to teach here, I walked through the rain wet. You understand? Let me assume to get here to teach because it rained heavily today. And God said, this guy, you are so dedicated. And then he gave me a fleet of cars and drivers. You understand my point? Well-conditioned cars, cozy home and everything. You know that no matter what, if Noah's rain begins to fall, I'll still get here. And I won't be wet. I'll wear my crocodile skin shoes and come in. And it won't be spoiled. Why? It's called prosperity. You understand what I'm saying? It is money. All right? That's the power of cash. But one day God will say, all right, go and preach. The first car will break down. The second will catch fire. Thief will collect the third one. And the drivers won't come to work. And you see, I am too big to walk through the rain. It is the beginning of failure. Are you getting my point? Recently, they were talking about some ministers. Now we're talking about one minister is going here. This is the preparation that goes ahead of him. Let me just give an illustration that maybe they will ship a car from Lagos or maybe from wherever, or tell the people here to go and look for a home, and that's the only thing or guard they enter. I said they are forgetting one principle that Paul said, I learned to abound, and I also learned to what? Abase. That is, if I enter a Hummer today, tomorrow, if you have an ijakpa for me, I will enter. You know what's ijakpa? B2. And if you don't even have ijakpa, give me your kada. I will sit on top of it. And if it's a direct trekking distance, I will use the shoes to walk. It doesn't matter. It is called learning to abound and learning to abase. You must never get to a place where you're only used to abounding. Do you understand my principle? Any success you strike with God will be tested again to be maintained. After Jesus finished the temptation, when Satan finished and left him, the Bible says he departed from him for a while. That is, I will try you again. Even in medicine, they do it. It's called booster doses for immunizations. Docs, am I lying? I'm telling the truth. I know I'm senior to you in that job. I know. You give an immunization today, it lasts maybe 3 months. Second one, it lasts 3 years. Third one, it might last 30 years. But you keep giving what? Booster doses. That's why they repeat one immunization, one after the other. Do you get my point? Especially for those, now this is medicine, why am I teaching medicine now? Especially for those organisms that you don't come across regularly. They don't give for everything because once you survive the first attack, you jam it every day, so you don't need to start doing this again. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm explaining that's the way it is in the spirit also. You will jam booster temptations to reinforce your faith because the trial of your faith works patience. And God just sent small booster dose of immunization to Asa, except that the man failed it woefully. That was why we were given that point. That this was until the 35th year of his reign. What happened in the 35th year of his reign? In the 36th year of Asa's reign, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and fortified Ramah in order to prevent anyone from going out or coming into Asa, king of Judah. Asa now took gold, silver from the treasures of the house of God, and from the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, or king of Aram, who lived in Damascus. He used it to entice the man to break his covenant. Now, you get what I'm saying? What has he done? He has entered a treaty with a foreigner. He has signed an agreement with a foreigner. But you know the interesting thing? It worked. That is the sad side. When God prevents your agreement from working, rejoice and be glad. When he allows it to work, more trouble. Because in this case, I don't want to waste time reading everything. In this case, the agreement was simple. Please, go and break off your treaty with the king of Israel. So, and attacked the man. So, the guy did it, having been bribed by goods that came out from the temple. You cannot give what is God's to Caesar. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can only give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. The things in the temple of God, you don't give to any king. The man took from the treasuries of the temple and gave to this man. And it worked. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because the guy did exactly as he was told. He went, broke up his treaty with the king of Israel. And that one had to pull back from attacking Judah. That was when Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have, verse 7, chapter 16, because you have relied on the king of Aram and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Aram has escaped out of your hand. Are you getting the point? That God brought them for destruction, actually. Oh, are you getting what I'm saying? That God did not... When God sends giants to you a lot of times, it's so that you might destroy it. It might look big, but boy, destroy this thing, it will never trouble you again. That's what God is saying. Overcome this challenge and it will leave you alone permanently. When he took them to the promised land, there were giants in the land. He said, I brought you as assassins to kill the giants. Why are you running away from your assignment? When God stirred up this man when he set up Baasha, it was so that the man will join with the Syrians because they were in league to come and attack him. And God said, I will now use you as my battle axe to finish the Syrians. He said, but now you have made a bargain with the foreigners. Now they have escaped from your hand. He said, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubim an immense army with very many chariots and horsemen, yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. He said, you have acted foolishly in this. This is where I'm coming to. Indeed, from now on, you will surely have wars. It worked, but he sowed a seed for wars. Be careful when they teach you business principles to strike bargains with foreigners. It will work, but then you will continue striking bargains. And listen, it's only the blessing of God that make rich without adding sorrow. Are you getting the principle I'm talking about here? That is, the problem with the people, God said, is that they are striking bargains with the children of foreigners. I told you before that one day I was discussing, my wife and I and some folks were discussing. They said, no, if you want to do a successful home video, you need to sign up maybe Genevieve or RMD or one of them. That is, that way, the people in there will like you, the marketers, and they will make your product sell. It's called striking a bargain with foreigners filled with influences from the East. You are soothsaying like Philistines. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, if God has anointed you, don't worry. Take up the challenge and go against the Goliath. They make their movies with millions of naira. Make your own with 10,000 naira for start and watch what God will do with it. Are you getting me? But if you do everything there according to the principles of the kingdom, listen, his kingdom, the Bible says, rules over all. It always comes out on top. Whatever is born of God, the Bible says, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome our faith. I was talking about the power of grace. Grace is not to struggle to succeed. That's not what God is talking about. Grace is simple. Follow me and I will make you. There's one scripture I found out recently. I was sharing with those guys I preached for in the morning. It's from 1 Samuel chapter 15. When Samuel went to Saul, he told him, were you not small in your own eyes when God made you? That thing struck me. He said, he made you king in Israel. So you were small in your own eyes, yet God made you. And he anointed you and gave you an assignment. That's the way life goes. No matter what you look like in your own eyes, if you walked with God, walking according to the principles of the kingdom, he will make you. That's just the principle. Listen. The training for reigning is not to train how to become a big chief. You get what I'm saying? Not that, okay, brethren, you know, since God is going to lift you up and you are going to be the chairman of 15 multinationals, this is how to coordinate your work. That's not what we want to discuss. Those things are automatic. They fit by themselves. Are you getting me? It's like water. Water does not need to know the channel in front of it before it gets there. Just pour it. It will find its way. You understand what I'm saying? It's human beings that try, As for water, you just say, oh boy, we are going to pour you on top of this building and you find your way to the floor. Water doesn't say, give me a map ahead of time. Let me know how to avoid the rocks. No. Pour it. When it gets to a crack, it bends here. It follows like this. What am I saying? God will have set the events of life to take you to the proper place. It doesn't need your trying. Training to reign, what you are training to do, actually, is to entrench the kingdom of God in your own personal life. When it's there, it reigns over all. It is automatic. It is automatic. I told you, I don't like too many principles of this, principles of that. I mean, it's like water that we are talking about. How to flow from, what's the origin of the Niger? Futajalon Mountains to Niger Delta in Nigeria. That is what we learn in principles. He says, so when you get here, take a curve like this, go up the northern coast, come this way, join with River Benue, this thing will become wider, then pass between Onitsha and Asaba, and you're on your way to Niger Delta. When you get to Niger Delta, break up into distributaries, if I'm going to use that word, and enter the Atlantic, and oil shall be found near you. All of it na gist. Nile did not come from Futajalon. There is no River Benue feeding the Nile. And neither did he enter into the Atlantic. What am I saying? God pours the water, he finds his way to the ocean. The hills, all right, the valleys, they will tell you how to bend. Nobody told you that your own course is in West Africa. So nobody can teach you the principles ahead of time. It's not possible. When God fills your life with water and he wants to send you, so he will just pour you. You will do as occasion serves you. You understand what I'm saying? There will be days you will wake up in the morning and you don't feel like going, and it's the perfect will of God. I told you last time, compassion moved Jesus Christ. Desire to rest can move you also, not to leave your house. No, that's the way it works. The word of God always creates. It creates all kinds of things. There was a time it created stubbornness in the life of the child of Demon Shakarian. Things had been going upside down. When God finally settled everything for them, his wife's gold ring that they had been looking for, they had set the house, cut everything in pieces, looking for it. They couldn't find it. And then one day, he was going out. And somebody was selling some lizard, chameleons. You know chameleon? And his son said, I want a chameleon. And he said, no, you can't have one. He said, normally this boy is very obedient. The boy told him, Daddy, I want a chameleon. And he said, no, you can't have one. The boy began to throw it around, and he was wondering what is going on. And his own father happened to be near there, be with them. That is the boy's grandfather. So he turned to the father, like, what's going on with the boy? The father said, give it to him. Ah! He was surprised, my father supporting rebellion. But he looked at his father, he didn't know what to do. You know, I think his father now brought out the dollar and gave the guy saying the chameleon and bought the chameleon for the boy. He's like, what? So he was very angry, didn't say anything. And then when they got home, he just told them, look, this is just to pacify this boy. We are throwing the thing away right away. Let the thing walk away. Once they got home, as soon as they got home, their maid came out and said, oh, beautiful creature. Come on, let's look for a box for it. She looked around. The only place she could find a box was in the trash basket. So she went there, shook a box to take it for the chameleon, and the ring dropped out. The diamond ring fell out. That is, the world became even stubbornness in the child, that they might find the ring that was missing. You cannot write a law on how to find missing rings from that. You can't tell somebody, buy a chameleon. No, you cannot. You cannot. Do you get what I'm saying? Seek first the kingdom of God and every other thing shall be added unto you. Everything. My brethren, I told you, I think this is the most important message I've ever preached to anybody. Because it's the end to all struggles. You know, I was listening to one of the things we preached the other day. I said Joseph didn't have the privilege of praying for your wife because prisoners don't pray for wives. As soon as they came out of prison, Pharaoh said, I don't like single boys. And the solution is, the finest chick around is this one, take. Simple. It was by commandment. And for your information, he couldn't pray any prayer against it. He couldn't refuse the Pharaoh. I mean, it was a good woman for goodness sake, because he prospered in his job. If your wife is bad, you won't prosper in your job. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, when a man seeks the kingdom, when a woman entrenches herself in the kingdom of God, every other thing shall, it's a matter of shall, it's compulsory, it must be added. Folks, you know, anytime I discover things like this, my life becomes easier. That is, even if walking in the kingdom means losing, physically speaking, in the temporal form losing, when I say temporal, now physical things that you can feel go away from you, it is good. Every temporal loss, my pastor will say, makes for an eternal gain. Are you getting my point? Because he said it cannot be compared with the eternal weight of glory. It's called temporary affliction. Oh, my brother, after I realized this, I realized that there's no need for struggle. Paul said, labor to enter into rest. If you are starting a business, before you start, say, God, I will never cheat anybody. If anybody forgets money with me, I will keep it for him. I will, look, say it. They said this is how they make money. In fact, let me tell you something, another thing about God. The Bible says he brings down one, lifts up another. That's the principle. He said, I hereby anoint you to break down, to pull down, to uproot, to overthrow them, to build and to plant. It's a principle. The day you, with your kingdom heart, enter into that business, every other person is in trouble. You know what? Remember what what's his name? Hanani said here. He said, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support. I like King James here. King James said that he might show himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are completely his. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, what God wants is a demonstration that your heart belongs completely to him. If you enter a market where everybody is cheating and making money, and you refuse to, God said, I will close them that you might prosper. Listen, anywhere you are walking righteously and people are prospering with iniquity, wake up every morning and say, Father, I thank you for this business that I'm in. Let your kingdom come upon it. Do you get my point? Hey, Mike, before you know it, Strabag will close. I'm telling you, Julius Beja will run. They won't know what is pursuing them. God said that we send hornets after your enemies. That is, before you arrive, bees, wasps will drive them away. Don't, no, the problem God has, I've told you, is people, his people, his own people. That is his problem. He said they are filled with influences from the east. They are soothsaying like the Philistines, and they have made bargains with foreigners. Because how can I help? I can't help. But let me end my message. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. Let us pray. Our Father, we give you thanks and praise. Because of the beauty of your word, we thank you. Because of the word that has